The Senate Transportation Committee is called to order. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Also want to welcome the internet listeners and remind everyone in the committee that this is broadcast live over the internet. Reminder, if anybody has cell phone, electronic equipment, please turn that off. I have a quick announcement for the committee. You have a little handout here. The Highway Users Conference is hosting lunch today for the Senate House and Senate Transportation Committees. That is over at the AGC office, which is on 300 East Capitol Avenue. You should have a copy of that. Secretary, may I call the roll, please?
Senators Hansen.
Here.
Klocek. McCracken.
Here.
Napoli.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Gant.
Here.
Garno.
Here. We have a quorum with a majority of the members-elect present. The chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
It has been moved by Senator Gant, seconded by Senator Napoli. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Once again, expectations of the committee and the people within the committee room here. We're working hard to work together, be courteous and respectful, and that goes for the committee people and the people that come up and testify. We expect tough questions, but please do it in a civil and friendly way. Reminder of all testifiers, if you're going to testify, that you need to sign in at the podium at the front of the room. And if you need any information handed out, we do have some pages here, hopefully, along with possibly an intern. And all questions will be addressed through the chair. We'll open this hearing on Senate Bill 72. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the liens on vehicles for the costs of removal and storage of vehicles. Senator Napoli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The bill you're looking at was passed in 2005, of course, I was very involved in that bill in 2005, and every once in a while, we don't get the language right. All this bill does is make the language right. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. We had cases where unscrupulous towing services were putting huge liens on the contents of some vehicles in order to keep that stuff. And this, the original bill was brought by the towers to get a grip on that, to where the contents of the vehicle, the lien, could not exceed $500. And that's the way the bill was supposed to read. Unfortunately, that's not the way it did read. The way the bill read, if you eliminate the new language and look at the old language, it says, for the reasonable cost in taking custody and storing of the vehicle, which may not exceed $500. And so it made it sound like the cost of picking up the rig and storing it and the contents of works, the whole thing could not exceed $500. And we know that's just not possible. I mean, there's cars out there and trucks and pickups and stuff out there that just the recovery alone runs into thousands of dollars to clean up these accident sites and pick these cars up. So all we really did was we just didn't get the wording right. And what this bill does is put it back to the intent of the legislation in 2005 that says the lien on the contents of the vehicle may not exceed $500. And that's it.
Are there any further proponents? And if you are a proponent, please step up to the microphone here, state who you are and who you're representing. Thank you.
My name is Paul Van Warren. I'm with Ready Towing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Welcome, sir.
We on? Hi, my name is Paul Van Warren with Ready Towing. I'm from Sioux Falls. I've spoke with Mr. Napoli and a lot of my representatives. Just going to ditto his thoughts. Unfortunately, the way this thing was worded before, the interpretation was the hard part. And all we're doing is trying to help the interpretation of this law so that two ordinary people can read this law and understand that no lien on the contents of the vehicle may exceed $500. Unfortunately, there's been a couple of people that have read this and didn't quite understand what the purpose of this was. And the purpose was simply for the lien to apply to the contents and for that lien not to exceed $500, rather than, well, some people implied that it the towing couldn't exceed $500. So that's really all we're doing, is just trying to help clean this up so that ordinary people, people we tow in, or attorneys, or anybody that's affiliated with this can simply understand it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 72?
I'm Al Gregg from Brookings, South Dakota. I own a towing service.
Good morning.
Right after this bill was printed, we realized there could be a potential problem. We brought it before Deb Hilmer, and in a discussion, Deb said one thing and never could really get a clarification on it, so it was just a little unclear. Paul got taken to court because somebody interpreted this way, and anyhow, he won his court case because the judge, upon the research of the situation, realized our intent was on the contents of the vehicle, the personal contents of the vehicle. So that's all we're here, is just to clear that up a little bit. It's still a little complicated, but we're trying to clean it up a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gregg. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 72?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I'm here today speaking on behalf of State Farm Insurance. Don't yell at me. I am a proponent. I've worked with the Towing Association people on their legislation over the last several years. So I believe I'm a proponent, but I became concerned about some language. It's always in the detail of what it means. And from what I heard Senator Napoli say, and from what I heard these two gentlemen say, I need to call this to your attention. Senator Napoli said the intention of the bill is to make sure that the lien on the contents cannot exceed $500. I support that. That's why I'm a proponent. That's why I spoke with these folks before session. And they're sitting there nodding their heads, yes. I'm here to help, not to hurt. I also heard the second gentleman say that it's intended that the lien is to apply to the contents. And finally, my friend said the intent is that the lien is on the contents. That's the intent of the bill before us. Last night, I became concerned, reading it over and over and over, whether in fact that's still what it says or not. It says on line 7, well, you have to read the whole thing, I guess. The sheriff, law enforcement officer, or towing agency taking custody of any vehicle has a possessory lien. Now, if it said on the contents of the vehicle, I would agree that we've accomplished our purpose. But it says has a possessory lien on the vehicle and the contents of the vehicle for the reasonable cost in taking custody and storing the vehicle. Now, the new language that Senator Napoli has offered helps make clear that no lien on the contents of the vehicle can exceed $500. However, because of what's in 7, on line 7, that possessory lien could be on the vehicle and there would be no limit. And I don't think that's what they're intending, and the reason is in 18.1, the next statute that follows the one you're looking at here, there is another tool, another mechanism available to these folks to pursue what's owed against the vehicle that they towed, and that statute says that every owner is civilly liable. Remember, we worked on that a few years ago, so that they can sue the owner of the vehicle for the costs of towing it, and which sometimes can be significant. So to accomplish the intent that we heard here, I'm thinking today that the words on the vehicle and, excuse me, the vehicle and, just those three words, the vehicle and, on line 7, should no longer be in the bill. Then it would say that the possessory lien is on the contents. And I thought that's what their purpose is to have a lien on the contents, and that it's not limited to 500, and that under 18.1, the next statute, they also have the right to sue the owner for the cost of storage, etc. So I think I'm a proponent based on what was said here. I thought I was a proponent before I came today, but as I read it again, I become concerned that it really says that you have a possessory lien on the vehicle and you can have a possessory lien on the contents, and that there would be no limit on either. And I think the intent was that the limit would be on the contents. So I hope that helps.
Thank you. If you think you're a proponent, anyone else may come up to the microphone. Thank you, Mr. Teason. Hang on one second. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Vogler, and I represent the South Dakota Independent Auto Dealers Association, and I would just echo Mr. Teason's comments. We've been very involved in this legislation in previous legislative sessions, and with the clarification that Mr. Teason has provided, we would be proponents of the bill.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Any further proponents at this time? You may come back.
Paul Van Vorn with Ready Towing again. This thing originally started out, if you look at the beginning of this bill or this law, it originally started out as a possessionary lien on the vehicle. That was the starting of this thing. And as this thing's been revised through the years, they added the contents because to help clarify vehicle contents. If you get rid of this, as far as the taking off of line 7, the vehicle, that's going to be detrimental to this bill because we've already have issues. In this case that I had, it wasn't a question about the lien on the vehicle. Okay, it was a situation where the lien holder hadn't satisfied the lien for over 6 months, or hadn't got it entered. So there was a problem between the bank and the borrower that the lien didn't get noted, therefore they didn't get their notice. And they tried to use this law saying that I could only charge $500, which is completely, I couldn't do that because I stored the vehicle 45 days. So the way this is formatted with the Senate bill now, I think is the correct way. The 18.1, which Mr. Dick Teason referred to, is also a civil, if we take it civilly, okay? However, we've found out the hard way that through the civil process, not one case has been able to, has that helped us? Not one in the whole state. Because you have to prove intent on abandonment, you got to prove intent on, you know, what the vehicle situation was. What this does is it automatically helps us with a possession lien on the vehicle. Okay, and it's not been a problem for us on vehicles that we tow in for accidents, DWIs, that type of situation, because those vehicles get picked up. Where the problem runs into, where this law will help us, is on the vehicles that get abandoned, where we get a car we tow off the city streets or off the public right away for law enforcement, and nobody comes to pick up the car, and they come in, say, 4 weeks into the tow, and they just want to clean out everything in the car, leave the car with us. I mean, we get people coming in wanting their mag wheels off the car, they want their CD player, they want everything out of the car. The existing laws say that they're entitled to food, clothing, and work-related items. We certainly give them all that. That's never been a question. They're entitled to that at absolutely no charge. All we're trying to do here is, when this was passed before, is they tried to set a dollar limit on the contents of the vehicle, so that if this gentleman has $4,000 in CDs in his car, and he's a, you know, and he has a music love for that, that we can't keep all of his CDs. We could only hold up to $500 to apply to, at a 4 week term, it's going to be close to $500 toll bill. That's all it's doing. This is just a tool to help us for the contents of the vehicle. If you take the vehicle off the lien, that gives us a problem down the road, I believe, and it will, because then you get into, you're probably opening a door for a situation, an argument whether we have a lien on the vehicle. And we already have steps taken through DMV that we have to send notices out in 10 days to notify the people that we have the vehicle. And then we have to hold the vehicle for 30 days If they don't pick it up in 30 days, and there's another measure that state provides us that we apply for abandoned motor vehicles. So that's already set out. And Deb Hilmer agrees that this is formatted. All this was to help clean up the clarification and the interpretation of this, because in trying to determine the interpretation of that $500 deal, it was tough to get anybody to answer that interpretation. All the way from Paul Kramer at the Attorney General's office to the Governor's office, I extinguished every effort I could to help clarification. And unfortunately, they all agreed that it just needed to be cleaned up to say that, okay, the no lien on the contents of the vehicle may exceed $500. So the lien on the car was already established long before this addition was put on. We don't want to take that away. The vehicle and the contents are two separate issues. Because 9 times out of 10, these people with these abandoned cars come in, they're not worried about the car. They're worried about their Nike shoes, their CDs, the personal property that they're not entitled to, the food, clothing, and work-related items. They're not worried about that because they already know they're giving up the car. So if you take out the lien on the car, I think you're opening some vicious doors down the road for people to come in and cause us some serious problems on the lien on the car. So I'd encourage your support just the way it's written.
Thank you, Mr. Van Buren.
Thank you.
Are there any further proponents of Senate Bill 72? Any further proponents? Opponents of Senate Bill 72. Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 72? Seeing no opponents, are there any questions from the committee of proponents or opponents? And please, if there are, if the people that are getting the questions, please come up to the microphone. Committee members, are there any questions at this time? I will give the primary sponsor, Senator Napoli, you have 1 minute for rebuttal. If you want to do it from your chair there, that's fine.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's no rebuttal, but you take a very simple little bill and you get a whole bunch of lawyers in the same room, and it's not simple anymore. No offense, of course, Mr. Teason. I'm sorry. Well, really, you know, I went back and researched this bill when Paul sent me the letter about it, and the intent of the original legislation in 2005 was the lien was only going to be in the contents of the vehicle. That was the intent. Go back and look in the journals. That's what I did. I wanted to make sure we were on the right page, and I think Mr. Teason's got some good points. I would ask for the graciousness of the chairman, since it's early and we don't have a lot of bills. Let me hold this over. I'll get all these guys in the same room, and we'll get this straightened out. I want a nice, clean bill that goes back to the original bill that was passed overwhelmingly in 2005 with the wrong wording in it. And so I would ask for your consideration.
Before I grant that motion, is there any questions, any committee discussion at all? Senator Napoli, of course, I will grant that. We're the levity. We have a little time, of course, at the beginning. Get it worked out and bring it back, and we're more than happy to accommodate you in that sense. Next bill on the agenda, we talked extensively the other day. That is Senate Bill 11. This is an act to revise certain provisions relating to the licensing of commercial drivers. And this was brought by the Committee of Transportation at the request of the Department of Public Safety. And just a quick reminder note, whenever we have an opportunity to have an agency or a department bill, and if you have talking points, that will certainly help the people on the committee when they go down to the floor or to their caucuses. Just a reminder, you probably already did that, but we'd really appreciate that, and I know the committee members would too. Once again, any proponents on Senate Bill 11, please come up to the microphone.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Good morning.
My name is Cindy Gerber, and I'm the director of the Driver Licensing Program for the Department of Public Safety. First of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to check with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration in regards to this term, licensee of federal D conductor, as it relates to Senate Bill 11. I have been in contact with that agency, and they've indicated to me that the specific language, the licensee of federal D conductor, as used in the federal law and regulations, must be used to be in compliance. This term references a specific document, and only that document has been approved as being equivalent to the U.S. CDL requirements. I did bring a handout, which I'll pass out, that shows you a picture of the actual license. You can see on the right-hand side, it's fairly small, difficult to read, but in the blue on the right-hand side there, you can see that specific language that says licensee, Federal D Conductor. And this is the specific document that has been approved by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. We got this out of the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance Operations Manual. The Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance is the agency that determines inspection criteria for motor carrier inspectors. The information that is on this page is provided to the officer to enable that officer to determine that this license is valid for operating a commercial motor vehicle. In addition, that specific term, licensee of Federal D Conductor, is specifically referred to in the out-of-service regulations that are used. In regards to the question that came up the other day about capitalizing the term, since it's the specific name of the document, I did visit with LRC on that, and they said that capitalization is not necessary. There's lots of places in statute that they don't capitalize where we normally would. So that's what LRC indicated on that matter. So in closing, I'll keep this short and sweet. I'd ask you to leave the language as it is written in the bill to bring us into compliance with the federal regulations. As you probably recall from my previous testimony, this bill has been brought before you as a result of a federal review of our CDL program. Changing the language in the bill to something other than the specific term will result in a non-compliance issue and will put South Dakota at risk of losing federal highway funds in the amount of approximately $7.25 million for the first year of non-compliance and $14.5 million for second and subsequent years. We could also lose Motor Carrier Safety Assistance Program grant funds, and we receive anywhere between $560,000 to $650,000 every year in those funds. The other thing that being out of compliance could result in is us being unable to issue CDLs or being decertified from issuing CDLs, which would be a huge inconvenience for our commercial driver license holders. So with that, I would ask for your support of this bill as it was originally written. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Are there any further proponents of Senate Bill 11? Any further proponents? If not, seeing none, are there any opponents of Senate Bill 11? Any opponents? I will give you another minute. Do you need another minute at all to? Okay. Any questions from the committee of proponents? Any questions from the committee of proponents? Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the handout that you provided, number one there, the last sentence says that Mexican state driver licenses are not valid for operating a CMV, which requires a CDL in the U.S. and Canada. Why couldn't that language be used instead of saying the name? Because you said the state ones are not valid, which this says, and that you need to have, I guess, the Mexican federal one. Why couldn't we use that type of language so we're not putting Spanish into our statutes?
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman, may I respond?
Yes.
The reason that we wouldn't want to use that language is, number one, the federal regulations require us to use this specific language, and we've been told that if we don't use that language, we will be out of compliance. The other issue is, this is what all of enforcement looks at to know what document is the one that's been approved as equivalent to our U.S. CDL. So putting in different language is going to bring us out of compliance.
Any further questions of the committee? Are there any further questions? The chair closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 11. It is open for committee discussion and or action. Senate Transportation Committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McCracken.
I would move due pass on Senate Bill 11.
Second.
Clerk check. The motion due pass by Senator McCracken, seconded by Senator Klocek, Is there any discussion? Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye. Opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Hansen.
Aye.
Kochek.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Napoli.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Gant.
No.
Garnos.
Aye.
6-1.
There are 6 votes for Senate Bill 11, 1 against. Senate Bill 11, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, passes. There's no title change or amendment. Senator Kochek, would you be kind enough to take it in your caucus? And Senator McCracken, would you be kind enough to take it?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Looking at the schedule, we have no other business. Senate Bill 72 will come up on the 10th legislative day if we'll be ready by next Tuesday. Reminder, the committee members, leave your binders here. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. It has been moved by Senator Hansen, seconded by Senator Kochek. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. We are adjourned.